The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Alvin, I'm in Dallas. I'm in a hotel room. Just got out of the shower. There's a car waiting for me downstairs. Are we on right now?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out who's Alvin. Is it me or is it this guy?
Hey, listen, come on. Taking over the show. Gentlemen,
first of all, let me introduce the show so that people know what to expect. First of all, in hour one, we have my friend, Pastor Michael Youssef. In hour two, what do we have, Alvin?
We have William Federer.
Oh, my gosh. William Federer, there's nobody better than William Federer. He's a facts robot. He just spits out. I've never seen anything like it. It's amazing. That's in hour two. But in hour one, we have Pastor Michael Youssef talking about his new book. And he's been in the news lately. And by the way, people are going to get confused. Alvin,
yes.
You're sitting next to someone who looks so much like you, they could be your twin. Is it in fact your twin?
Yeah, but we are breaking COVID rules just for this radio show. We are within like 2 feet of it, a half a foot from each other.
I'm getting confused just for the audience because I want people to be tracking. How many twins do you have?
I got just this one and I brought him down here to Kitty Hawk. And by the way,
to be two. Whenever you say twin, it's just it really means two, doesn't it?
I'll
get my Funkin' Wagnall.
You only have one twin.
I've just never heard of that in my life. Twins always come in pairs. Well, let me say this. Alvin's twin, you're Tony or do you go by Anthony?
I go by Tony.
Mm-hmm. You go by Tony?
But except Alvin my professional calls you name Anthony. Is Anthony J.
Why does Alvin call you Anthony? To shame you? To say you're still the child that I remember you as?
No. When we were growing up, he was Ant and I was Ab. So it's Ab and Ant. That's it.
Ab and Ant. That's the best you could do. Well, listen, I'm sure we've just lost a lot of our audience already because people are listening on the radio and they're thinking, you know what? If I can't see the twin, it's really not that fascinating. But you guys do sound alike as well. Yes. Anthony, Tony, would you talk a little bit? Pretend to be Alvin?
Yes, I'm talking just like Alvin. This is how I normally talk, and I think it sounds just like Alvin.
Thank you.
You sound like the mature version of Alvin. It's very interesting. Are you the older twin?
No, Alvin is the older twin. That would be me.
But that's so interesting. You know, you guys, have you ever watched The Shining where they have the twins in the hallway?
Yeah, well, James was just saying that. He said we look like the little girls from
James
The Shining.
James, our engineer, who's so smart. He's a young guy. He's a very young guy, but he's very smart. But here's what he doesn't know. He doesn't know what Kubrick based that scene on. Those twins are based on a Diane Arbus photograph. Diane Arbus is the photographer sister of the poet Howard Nemiroff, not that anybody cares, but her photographs were really famous. And the Diane Arbus photo of twins is what Stanley Kubrick based that on. No one cares. So let's talk about something more important.
Okay, can I just quickly say that in 40 years, the Benham brothers are going to look like us. So they better.
The Benham brothers, let me tell you something about those guys. They're not who they claim to be. That's all I'll say. We're going to get them on this show and I'm going to grill them. It's going to be like a 60 minutes. They're going to be sweating because I'm going to prove that one of them is redundant. And now you guys, neither of you is redundant, or I should say both of you, I would argue, are redundant. But let's move on because we're getting silly here. We're going to have a great interview with Michael Youssef. He's really someone I love and I preach in his church a number of times. I'm here in Dallas in case people are wondering why things look the way they do. I'm in Dallas. I spoke yesterday in the absolutely amazing church, First Baptist Dallas. That's Pastor Robert Jeffress. To be invited into that pulpit, I have to say, is a huge honor. There are some people that, you know, they don't give up their pulpits lightly. And so I feel particularly honored. And, you know, that that's online. If people want to find it, we'll send it out with the newsletter. But it really was an honor to be here. We have to talk about food for the poor. Alban, how are we doing on our fundraising for that? Because this is something, it's close to our hearts. We really care about this. And I want to make sure that we're doing our bit. It looks like we're behind, I guess.
Yeah, we are actually behind. We only raised about $25,000, $26,000. And we're trying to raise like $50,000. We're trying to raise that by the end of the week, if that's possible. And I think it is. I really do.
Yeah, actually, we're behind. And when I say we're behind, what I really mean is our audience is behind. No, that we can't do that to people. If you, first of all, if you have given to Food for the Poor, thank you. God bless you. I'm always amazed that anyone gives anything, because it's just, nobody's forcing you to do this. It's out of the goodness of your heart. And we want to say thank you. And to those of you who have not yet given, see what I did there? We want to say, we do need your help. This is a serious humanitarian crisis in Honduras. Here's the good news, is that everybody at Salem, this is Hugh Hewitt, Sebastian Gorka, the whole gang, we've raised enough money to feed 4,300 kids for the next 6 months. Now, our program has just done a fraction of that, but I want to say that it's really serious. So we joke around, but we got to get serious. We do need your help, because what's going on down there is bad. And so actually we have a clip. I'll just say, we know that 60% of Hondurans are living below the poverty level. Stunning. Okay. The country's suffering because they had a tropical storm and then a hurricane, and there's tremendous flooding. So they're in a bad way. Linda, who works with Food for the Poor in Honduras, we have a clip. Let's play that clip.
When you see the hunger, when you see the need, you go out on the field, even if they haven't eaten for 1 or 2 days, it just makes us real, real sad. The more we do, the more we see the need. The more places we go, the more we find people starving. The more we see children are eating the leaves from the trees.
I don't know what, you know, you just get speechless. What in the world do we say here? Folks, if you can help, we want to bless you in a number of ways. Anybody who gives is entered in our grand prize drawing. We have 5 grand prizes that whatever you give, you get put in a hat, and we're going to pick 5 winners this time, and you get all kinds of stuff. My signed new book, Fish Out of Water, all kinds of signed books, hats, t-shirts, the whole thing. But you have to go to our website, metaxastalk.com, and you'll see the banner. Whatever you give, thank you.
You can phone in a donation at 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. And please, really, please be very, very generous.
844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. We all know we have to give back. The question is where? And I think we want to give to organizations that we know they've been vetted, that they're doing great things with the money we give them. And frankly, I cannot think of anybody who stretches an American dollar as far as it goes. They are, I mean, $37, if you give to Food for the Poor, $37 only will feed a kid for 6 months. They get huge donations of rice and beans, and what they work this kind of thing. And then the money we give enables them to get the food to the kids. That's what requires money. They can't get that kind of thing donated. So we just need your help. 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Anybody who gives $111, that's 37 times 3. That's 3 kids who can eat for 6 months.
Yeah, and also, Eric, you will have dinner with folks if they give $10,000.
And Oh, yeah. This is all tax deductible, and it goes to a spectacular cause, an urgent cause. And I'm really busy. I don't have a lot of nights, but I will tell you, I'd be delighted. to have dinner, spend the evening with anybody, any group of people, frankly, who gives $10,000 to Food for the Poor. We know folks can do that. It's tax deductible. It's a great organization. It's a great cause. 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, or just go to metaxastalk.com and click on the banner. God bless you. You'll take away the biggest part of me. Ooh. Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out. Hey folks, Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I am sick of hearing about big tech companies spying on their customers, selling their data, and not being able to keep their platforms safe and secure. Luckily, I've found SquadPod, a private platform that helps businesses, organizations, churches, and nonprofits take back control of their communication. SquadPod has three things going for it that other companies do not. First, SquadPod puts you in control of who is a part of your team, what they see, and how they interact with the group. Second, SquadPod is 100% owned and operated in the United States. Third, SquadPod is simple to use. Just create an account, invite your team, and start communicating via their secure video and messaging features. Learn more at squadpod.com/Eric. That's squadpod.com/Eric. Let me say it again, squadpod.com/Eric. Check it out. Hey there, folks. Guess what? Did you guess? Did you know? Yes, I'm going to have a guest on. I've decided that enough about me. I'm going to have guests on, and I'm going to find out what's going on in their lives. Usually, I like to have a guest on who's a friend, if possible, and today I've succeeded. Pastor Michael Youssef, he is doing many things. Some of you know him as the founding pastor at the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, but you probably also know him from TV and radio. And he is out with a brand new book, Hope for This Present Crisis. Michael Youssef, welcome.
Thank you so much, Eric. Wonderful to be back with you. Sorry that I'm not there in the studio that like the last two times, but at least thankful to have technology that we can do this.
I was going to say, it seems to me like you're close. That's the beauty. If you have a really good Zoom link or whatever, where it's probably not Zoom, it's something else today, but it feels like you're here. The book, I look at this book and I have to say, it speaks to where we are right now. The title is Hope for This Present Crisis, the Seven-Step Path to Restoring a World Gone Mad. Yep. Most people look around and they say, things have gone absolutely crazy. And I always say, you're right. You're not crazy. They're crazy. Whatever is happening, right. We know, most people know this is madness. But here's the good news. Most of us know that it's madness that's trying to be forced on us from various different directions. So hope for this present crisis. What do you say about how we are to deal with it?
Sure. You know, it was so interesting. The very first thing I say in the book is, while I wrote this book during the height of the pandemic of the coronavirus, it has nothing to do with coronavirus. It has everything to do with the enormous loss that we are experiencing as Americans and as a Western civilization and as a culture. And the primary loss, even though there are seven things that I talk about, education, environment, church, and all of that, but the greatest loss that is, and that's what causes for madness, really, is the loss of truth. When the truth is lost, everything else will suffer severely. And when particularly objective, ultimate truth, as they are in Jesus, when they are removed, first of all, they were kind of taken away a little bit out of the center, but now they're completely removed. Then it becomes your truth, my truth, his truth, their truth. There's no truth. And people can lie and cheat on each other, and they would do it with a straight face. And consequently, when that's gone, everything else goes with it. And let's take the church, for example. I always like to point to me, as, you know, my gang, those of us are in the pulpits. We have compromised the truth so that we may please the crowd, so that we can draw people who would come, normally might not like to be in a Bible-believing church. So we please the crowd. And the more of them come, the more we preachers want to please them, and the more they compromise the truth of the gospel. And as many times you've heard me say, as goes the pulpit, so goes the pew. As goes the pew, so goes society. And that's where I start. And then I go to the rest of society, the rest of the issues that are we facing today. You know, one of the most amazing thing, Eric, is that BBC website 2 days ago, this is whatever, it's in the last week of February. They said two of the most weaponized words, this is to use their language, two of the most weaponized words, cancel culture. And that's what we're living with right now. And we used to say, man, it's important for our democracy to survive. You know, we need men and women of integrity in the public place. Not anymore, because what's controlling our culture and what's controlling the minds is the oligarchs and who run the social media, and they run all the media outlets, and they want to shut down everybody with whom they disagree.
It's extraordinary. We've been talking about this a lot on this program because I think that everybody needs to understand that you have a voice, and if you don't use your voice, you become part of the problem. You have an obligation to use your voice, to use the freedom that you do have. One of the freedoms that each of us has is the power of the purse. We all spend money. We can choose where we spend money and where we don't spend money. And I even think that sometimes people of faith, Christians in America, say, you know, that's too much trouble. It's too inconvenient to go to that store and not that store because I'm, you know, I'm a busy person. And I think, listen, you're giving your money to corporations day by day. Many of them, most of them probably don't share your values. You have an opportunity to choose how you vote with your money, for example. And it seems like the first thing we have to understand is we have a responsibility. Everyone has a responsibility. You can go crazy if you think about it too much, but we all can do something. And speaking the truth being aware of certain things, or saying, I'm not going to do business there, because they have become part of the cancel culture. They have the people, one of our sponsors is Mike Lindell and MyPillow. And the companies that have said, we're going to cancel him because he talks about election fraud or something, I've said that any of those stores, right now it's a long list, but it's Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond, and a few others, they have taken such an anti-American, anti-freedom stand by trying to silence him. Yep. I said, if you're a person of faith or a person with patriotic values, you have an obligation to send an email to that store or an email to the website and to say, because of this, I am not going to spend a dime there unless you change those policies. But I guess I find that people need bucking up. People need to be encouraged to do the right thing. It's not so easy for some people. Yeah. They think, I don't want to get involved.
No, but that's part of our stewardship. You see, We have stewardship in every area and every aspect of life. You know, where we spend our money, how we spend our money. It's like people say, well, if you tithe, then you can do whatever. No, you don't, because God is as concerned with the 90% that you've got left. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to live your life with that as the 10% that you give away? So stewardship of life requires us to make the hard decisions. Where am I spending that money? Where am I going to do this? Am I putting my kids in schools? There are some private schools that charge $35,000 a year, and they have those little kids coming out, white kids. Now, as you know, I'm not white, so I can tell you, white kids apologizing to black kids. Well, what those little kids have done? The parents and the grandparents that are spending $30,000, $35,000 in these private schools, they need to rethink stewardship. And so shops, schools, everywhere we go, life is all about a stewardship. And that is why I said when the truth fails, everything else fails. But stewardship also fails. And that's really something we need to go back to, because we're going to give an account. I'm talking about the believers. We're going to give an account, not just where we spent our money, who we did, how we supported, and who. We're going to give an account for every idle word that came out of our mouths. So I want to encourage every believer to begin to think, I am a steward. I am a manager. This is not my money. This is God's money. He's entrusting me with it. Where do I spend it? How do I go about it? Is the most important question for a steward to ask.
And it is interesting because people say, what can I do? What can I do? We all have tremendous power. I mean, when you think about the influence that every person has, even if it's just a few people with whom you interact, they see what you say, they hear what you say, they hear what you don't say. Why are they afraid to talk about this or this? We are really an open book for people are looking at how we live our lives, and we can either encourage them to speak the truth bravely, courageously, or we can encourage them to hide, to keep their mouths shut. What are we doing? Are we able to encourage those around us, or are we encouraging them to be silent? And I really think Chuck Colson spoke about this, that in Germany in the 30s, they had this effect. It was called the spiral of silence. In other words, if people keep their mouths shut, it encourages everyone else to, I better keep my mouth shut. When you speak up, it's just the opposite. And I really do believe that if most Americans understand what we do, that the world looks like it's gone crazy and they want me to say this and this and this. If you push back, folks, you're encouraging other people to push back. The truth is so powerful. If you can just speak the truth, it will affect all kinds of people around you. It will inject them with courage. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to my friend Michael Youssef. He has a new book out called Hope for This Present Crisis. Don't go away. Hello there. We're back with Michael Youssef. He's the pastor of the Apostle Church in Atlanta. I've had the privilege of speaking there a number of times. Michael, welcome.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to be with you.
And congratulations on the book. It's called Hope for This Present Crisis, the 7-Step Path to Restoring a World Gone Mad. One of the things that has happened really in the madness of the last year is we have seen clearly what is going on in, for example, China. We realize that, my goodness, they're a Marxist regime, which means they are aggressively atheist. So they're persecuting Christians. Yep. They're persecuting Uyghur Muslims. They're persecuting Falun Gong. They're persecuting Tibetan Buddhists. And they really have dramatically different values than we do. They don't believe in the sanctity of the individual. They don't believe in any of these things. And we've been enabling them to grow because we've been doing all this trade with them. And I think this is a human rights issue that people are waking up to. They're saying, wait a second, I'm working with a company, or I'm giving money to a company, whether it's Nike or whatever, that has profited right. from slave labor. Wait a minute. I have a conscience. I cannot give my money to a company unless they disavow this, unless they have certain kinds of standards. I think it's sure. a good thing. It's an opportunity. But a lot of people aren't yet aware of it. I think it's one of the good things that's come out of this crisis. We're aware of the evil of Marxist communism in the largest country in the world today.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of Australia and the Australian Prime Minister, Morrison. He really is taking it to China, and they boycotting their coal and iron ore because, well, they can't do it for too long because they're dependent on their iron ore. But because he took a stand and took a very strong stand, China is trying to punish Australia. And unfortunately, you know, we had, you know, Pompeo and the State Department was trying to take a strong stand against China for what they're doing. You see, sometimes we think that dictatorship is a one person. No, in China, it's not necessarily one person. It's a whole party that is in dictatorship. And so dictatorship can be multiple people, not just one individual. And that's what's happening with the Marxist regime. And I'm telling you that we're having Marxism sneaking into our classroom, has been for years, especially I write about in the book Hope for This Present Crisis, is Howard Zinn's books, particularly the book on the history of the American people, which where he talked about the culture, the race theory. And, you know, in fact, dividing the world into oppressed and oppressors and persecuted and persecutors. And automatically he assumes that if you're white, you're prosecutor or you're oppressor. If you're black, you're oppressed. And this is all Marxist ideology that comes from Kierkegaard and the thesis and the antithesis and creating that division. And we are seeing this happening in our country. And unless we speak the truth, that's why I give those seven steps that every believer, every person who considers themselves a religious person, that must adopt in order for us to make a difference. I am not suggesting we go out and take matters into our own hands, but we have weapons that nobody else has. And it's a weapon of love, prayer, and obedience to the Word of God. And so that is why I pray to God we would never become another China unless the believer is going to make the difference. If the Christians are going to be quiet and they're going to let people run roughshod over them and they never take a stand. And I often say to people, I said, to my congregation, what are they going to do to me? They're going to come here and haul me into, you know, because I speak the truth. I preach the gospel. I preach all of the whole counsel of God, including the things that some of these you know, Gestapos of cancel culture would consider hate speech. And okay, they arrest me, fine. They're going to kill me, fine. I mean, I'm going to die anyway. And that's where we need to throw away fear and begin to take a stand, because that's the only hope for this present crisis that we're in.
And it really is it's a test of our faith in the sense that if you really know that what the scripture says is true, if you really know that the Lord is real and that he actually yep. defeated death, you have a different yep. attitude. Whenever I would speak on Bonhoeffer, I would talk about this, that people say, oh, he was so courageous. Well, you think, well, yes and no, because he knew that Jesus had defeated death. It wasn't like he had to get pumped up. He actually yep. knew this was true. And when you know who is the author of truth and you know that he's with yep. you when you speak the truth— obviously, you speak the truth in love. We're not talking about demonizing sure. people. But no. it's an incredible thing. When you know that's true, you're giving the word of hope to people as you speak it. And you're aware yeah. of that. And you have a totally yeah. different attitude. And I really do think, as I was saying, that I think that the forces of darkness, whether of communist atheism or the Howard Zinn acolytes and the cultural Marxism that's in the United States right now, all of those things, yeah. I think they've overplayed their hand and they're forcing people to re-examine the fundamentals. We've been riding along and riding along, but suddenly we realize, wait a minute, I think I've been taking yeah. this for granted. So we're, in a way, educating ourselves again in the basics, the absolute right. basics, and understanding that we all have a responsibility to know what our rights are, to know what the Bible says, but then to actually walk it out in faith. And I think that whenever I meet a friend like you, and I know you're doing it from your pulpit, it's an encouragement to me, and I hope it's an encouragement to everybody listening and viewing right now, that we need to walk out our faith as though we believe it, because it's actually true. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Michael Youssef. The book is Hope for This Present Crisis.
Pretty, darling, do not cry. And I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a...
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Dr. Michael Youssef. He's the pastor of Church of the Apostles in Atlanta. He's all over TV, radio, but right now he's right here. Welcome back, Dr. Youssef. You've written a book called Hope for This Present Crisis, The Seven-Step Path to Restoring a World Gone Mad. And one of the things you talk about in here is praying for our kids. Talk about that a little bit, because that's something everybody can do.
Yes, I told a story not long ago in the church about a man, and I said, how many of you heard of him? And no one raised their hand. I said, let me tell you about him and how he prayed for his children and then for his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Well, his children all went to ministry. His grandchildren went to ministry. But then there was one of his great-grandchildren who refused to go to the ministry, and he basically became the black sheep in the family. And, you know, that man prayed 1 hour a day for his descendants. And that black sheep in the family is Dr. James Dobson. He decided to go to psychology, who blessed so many people with his ministry. And so praying for your children, praying for the next generation, and I'm talking about seriously praying, that is taking time to pray for them specifically, for God to use them to do mighty things, not necessarily just all ministry, but I mean, they can be great scientists or great physicians or whatever God calls them to be, but they will make an impact for Christ. If you take it seriously and you literally spend time, I said, oh, yeah, bless my kids, bless my grandkids, nothing wrong with that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking time. And you bring everyone before God. And if you don't have children, you can pray, adopt some kids in the church that you can pray for. Do something, because every one of us can do something. And that prayer will make a difference. I really believe that with all my heart. And that is really one of our greatest weapons. You were talking earlier, Eric, we don't take things into our hands and we go out. No. We have great weapons that the world will never know, will never understand. That's our knees. We get to our knees, and then we can fight bad ideas with much better ideas. And who can get better ideas than the Word of God? And so, yes, we would do it in love. We will do it respectfully, but we also must do it. That's the issue. You stay in your corner and say, you know, I'm on my way to heaven, which I know I am too. I'm looking forward to it. But I'm just a sojourner. I'm just a traveler. And I'll do nothing in this world. Then your grandchildren are going to suffer for it. Are we expecting our 11th grandchild? So I have an incentive to pray for each one of my grandchildren. I know my children walk with the Lord, but I want those grandchildren to grow up to be mighty heroes for God, and to be, as Psalm 127 says, arrows in the hand of the greatest bow holder, the Lord, Holy Spirit himself, so he can use them as arrows. And so it is very, very important. You bring up the book, one of the points in the book about praying for the next generation. That is going to take commitment and never give up. Never just do it occasionally when you feel like it or one of them is sick or needs some help or something. I'm talking about systematically praying for them specifically that they will grow up to be mighty warriors for God.
I don't want to forget to ask you, you talk about kids. How did you grow up and how did you find faith? For those people that are just tuning in, they don't know anything about Dr. Michael Youssef. What's that story briefly, because we only got a couple of minutes left?
Well, my ancestors all go back to first century Christianity when the Apostle Mark came with the Jewish believers from the day of Pentecost from Alexandria, literally. My ancestors go back 2,000 years of Christianity. But as you know, the Orthodox Church sort of Egypt went through its own dark ages. But then thank God for some British and American missionaries who came in the 1800s and they revived the church. And then they planted a lot of evangelical churches. There are 2 million evangelicals in Egypt. My father and my grandfather on my mother's side were Orthodox Christians, became born again. And of course, they brought all of us, 8 children in the family, 4 boys and 4 girls, to know the Lord and to love the Lord. And we used to have a family altar. Even when my oldest brother, who's 19 years older than me, was a bank president, as long as he lived in our compound, in our house, he had to be home at 10 o'clock at night for the family altar. And so that is something I learned from my grandfather and my father, is to pray together as a family and to pray for the family. And I am the product of the prayers of my grandfather. And so are my nephews who are in ministry as well. And so I really am a big believer that the family must be interceded on their behalf.
I mean, that's an amazing thing when you just said that there are 2 million evangelicals in Egypt. That I would never have guessed anything like that. That's absolutely extraordinary.
15 million Christians in Egypt and thousands of churches, Coptic Orthodox churches, Catholic churches, many, many denominations, 17 Protestant denominations, including of all kinds, Presbyterians. Presbyterians are the largest group by far. But nonetheless, and I just preached there last October. I'm on my way there. In April 16, I'll be preaching, and we were broadcasted to 2 million homes on our television station, KingdomSat. 200 million homes in the Arabic-speaking world receive our television station that is dedicated 24/7 to the preaching of the gospel. 65 programmers, 90% of them.
If people want to find you online, where can they go? Because we're out of time. I want to make sure people know.
LTW, Leading the Way.
LTW.
LeadingTheWay.org.
LTW.org, LeadingTheWay.org. Michael Youssef, congratulations, folks. The book is Hope for This Present Crisis. What a pleasure. Great to see you.
Thank you, Eric. God bless you, my brother.
Everybody knows they have to give back, but you always wonder, where do I go? Who do I give to? How do I get? Folks, Food for the Poor, we've worked with them over and over and over again. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner, MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner. Please go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner. God bless you. School in town.
Live on likes his money. He makes a lot, they say. Spends his days counting.
Hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Michael Youssef. I'm still in Dallas. Alban, I'm still in Dallas. Look at me.
Look at you.
I'm ashamed. I'm still here in Dallas. No, I'm going to be, by the way, I'm going to be speaking in El Paso on Wednesday evening. Great church in El Paso. I'm so excited. Anybody wants to know about it, if you're in El Paso or know anybody near there who can get there, I will be there. I'll be signing books. I'll be doing the whole thing. Looking forward to it. And you have to go to my website. The schedule is there with all the details. You go to Eric Metaxas. That's my name. EricMetaxas.com. You don't have to say it out loud. You just have to type it. EricMetaxas.com. And the schedule is there. And I'm going to be in El Paso on Wednesday. I'm here in Dallas till then doing some stuff with Daystar TV and with The Blaze and some radio. But I want to remind folks, we're doing a fundraiser with Food for the Poor. And today is, gosh, here we are. It is already middle way through the month. We're not doing that well, so we need your help. If you're thinking of giving, let me encourage you folks. Let's play this clip. I mean, this amazes me that kids in Honduras, this is what we're trying to raise money for. Kids in Honduras are starving. Let's, you know, it's hard for us to fathom this. And, you know, I don't know anybody in my world who's ever gone without food. My parents went without food during the war and after the war. And they told me these stories, which is why I know these things. This is real for some families. It's an amazing thing. So you can help out. Go to 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Let's play the clip because this just makes it a little bit real. Let's see if we got that.
When you see the hunger, when you see the need, you go out on the field, even if they haven't eaten for 1 or 2 days, it just makes us real, real sad. The more we do, the more we see the need. The more places we go, the more we find people starving. The more we see children are eating the leaves from the trees.
Look, we cannot imagine this stuff. This is, we're so spoiled. We're so blessed is what we are. We're blessed. So take some of that blessing and share it. Go to our website, which is metaxastalk.com, and you'll see a banner and you can give. $37 feeds a kid for 6 months. That's amazing. Food for the Poor is able to stretch American dollars. It's just an amazing thing that that little bit of money can feed a kid for 6 months. But Food for the Poor, they're amazing. They do great work. And that's why we work with them. Salem Radio, we've all worked with them. That's Dennis Prager and Hugh Hewitt and everybody. Now we've got Charlie Kirk and Sebastian Gorka, Dinesh D'Souza, the whole gang. We're doing what we can. But folks, we can't do anything except ask you to help out. So go to metaxastalk.com. If you'd rather phone, I know there's some wonderful people out there who'd rather phone. I'll give you the number, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. If you can give, now would be the time. We do need your help, 844-863-HOPE. The need is really great. In Honduras, as I think I've said today, earlier today, they've been devastated. I mean, they already live 60% of them below the poverty line, which is a stunning thing. But beyond that, they've had tropical storm and a hurricane. There's been flooding. So it's just been devastated. None of us really can imagine. But we don't need to imagine. We just know that this is the situation.
Yeah, and I'd also like to remind folks out there that if you give $10,000, and of course we have people out there in the audience that have that kind of money, Eric will have dinner with you, which is a great thing.
And if you prefer not, then I won't have dinner with you. But either way, I'll do what you like. I would be delighted to spend an evening with you and as many folks as you want to bring, whatever it is. It's just my time. But we'd love that if you can do that. 844-863-HOPE, 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 or go to metaxastalk.com. Click on the banner. God bless you.